I would like to greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord. It is really a great privilege to be here today. And we would like to welcome all of you. 46 years ago, I was here for the first time. A lot of time has passed since then. And we are looking back at the blessed times. The word of the Lord reached all nations. And we are just grateful that we can live in this time. And that we can believe the promises God has given to us, and that our faith is really anchored in the Word of God. I think that most of you already know what we are talking about. It's all about the main topic, the return of Jesus Christ. And the preparation of the church, the bride, for the great day. What matters is to believe the promises God gave to us. It's important that we believe them and we see them in their fulfillment. Whatever God does, He first gives His promise. And when the time comes, then He fulfills what He has promised. And we really have God's commission to bring the Word of God to God's people. As it was preached in the beginning 2,000 years ago, before the return of Jesus Christ, the church must return back to the original, the full restoration of all things must take place. And we will read a few scriptures concerning this topic. I hope you all will feel well, especially all those that have come from Slovakia. May the Lord give His blessings to all of us. Six years ago, I crossed the border. God used our brother Siegfried flag at this time, at that time, that the connection was made. And so God took care of all nations as He said it in His word. In Matthew 24, in Mark 13, and in Luke 21, our Lord said, the gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached as a witness to all nations, and then the end will be. God gave a promise for Israel in a special way and also for the church. God told in His word what would take place at the end of the time. Whatever we read in Prophet Daniel, especially in chapter 7, and in chapter 9 and also in chapter 12. Whether we read it in the prophets in the Old Testament, also in prophet Joel, where the day of the Lord is mentioned 5 times, that the day of the Lord will come and the sun will stop shining and the moon will turn into blood before the great and dreadful day of the Lord would come. Everything has been foretold. Also the gathering of the people of Israel, as their scattering was foretold because of their unbelief. And we really have to take this deep into our heart. Unbelief and disobedience cannot stand before God. The people of Israel were the chosen nation, but only those who really believed, they confirmed that they were really chosen. Those who did not believe, they did not accept the fact that they were chosen. Whatever God gives to us, we have to accept. And in Ezekiel chapter 20, we read that the people of Israel, because of their disobedience, would be scattered among the nations. But God also gave the promise that before the return of Jesus Christ, the scattered people would be gathered, and this was fulfilled before our very eyes. From 150 countries, the people of Israel returned to their land, to their promised land. The land God gave them. And the Lord will finish his work on the Mount Zion, as it is written in Joel 4 and in many other scriptures. In Matthew 24, our Lord says, look at the fig tree. In Hosea 9 and 10, here the people of Israel is made similar to a fig tree, and so the people of Israel were mentioned in a special way. Not only wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and expensive times, but also the people of Israel are put to the front stage. I have been to Israel with groups many times, and it is also special joy to be in the land of the Bible, to experience how Bible prophecies are coming true. And we can also watch all the other things that are taking place. We won't talk in detail about what is going on in politics, but we have to say that we are in the middle of the peace process, which is foretold in the Word of God and in 1 Thessalonians 5, it is written, when they will say peace and safety, now it's peace, now it's safety. Then all the trouble will come upon them. We notice when the Pope Francis was in Bethlehem, when he was in Jerusalem, when he was on Mount Zion. We notice all these things. As he was in the upper room on Mount Zion, as he spoke about peace. And that's only one thing matters today, about peace and safety. And we could read it in all those slogans. That all the politicians of the world did not succeed in the peace process. But now a person must come that is globally accepted to so that the peace process could reach its peak point. And this is what we see before our eyes, that it's really taking place. We have also noticed that it was said that three religions have their beginnings in Jerusalem, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, but that's not correct. It was also said that these three religions religions, the people in them, they all believe in the same God. But that's not true. The people of Israel can only believe in one God. They cannot believe in any Trinity. And we have to say that the God of Israel is not Mohammed. Mohammed, they say, was a prophet, according to them. But here is the point, which is very important. There were a lot of men who started some kind of religion, but none of them had any confirmation. Confucius didn't have any confirmation or commission. Mohammed, none of them had any witness. None of the founders of these religions had any witness for the ministry. But Moses, Abraham, all those prophets, and also in the New Testament, what God was doing on earth, many people could see it and many experienced it. When God revealed His word on the Mount Sinai, this supernatural cloud came down, the Lord God was speaking, and all the people could hear it. They were all witnesses. And also in Prophet Isaiah, it's written, "You are my witnesses." In Acts 1, it's written, "You are my witnesses." And in 1 Corinthians 15, it is written that after resurrection, more than 500 brothers could see our Lord. All that God does is confirmed. There are witnesses. And so we just have to return to the word. All religions have the right to exist. Whatever exists on earth has the right to exist. But one thing is important for us: to believe God, to believe the word of God, to go back to the beginning, to know the time and the hour. All the others can do whatever they want, that they can believe whatever they want and teach whatever they want to teach. But our task is to preach the original word and to tell everyone that God is only in His word. In the first 200 years from the days of apostles, there were 127 directions of faith, and they were all invited to the Nicene Council, and they started a new religion. What happened at that time, what happened in Nicaea in 325, it didn't happen in Jerusalem. It was not the beginning. The beginning was in Jerusalem. What happened in Nicaea and all those councils, it wasn't the beginning from God. God's beginning was in Jerusalem with our Lord Himself. And from the apostles He commissioned. But then all the religions came, and the Roman Church, and in the year 380, the Trinity teaching started to be preached as a dogma, and everybody had to believe it. They had to accept that form of Christianity, which has nothing to do with the original teaching. But it's just a mixture of politics and religion. So that's how the Roman Church appeared. And as I said, everybody had to belong to it, and who did not want to belong to it, those people were persecuted. And just for your information, I am not happy that I have to say this, but in the Seven Crusades from the 15th century, from the 5th to 11th century, there were seven crusades, and there were murders and murders. The history says about 22 million people that were murdered because they refused to accept the Roman Christianity, because they could not accept the religion, that state religion. It started in Jerusalem when in the year 1099, 80,000 people were murdered. Why? So many things have happened in the name of Christianity. In the year 1292, Spain was declared as a country free of Jews. I only mention these things for one reason. The the Trinity teaching is not in the Bible. But so much blood has been spilled in the Trinity teaching that it's difficult to understand. And that's why we have to say this clearly, that there is only one God, not three persons, not Eternal Father, Eternal Son, Eternal Holy Ghost. Father is one person, Son is another person, and the Holy Ghost is another person. No. No, there is only one true God who was manifested to us as Father in heaven, in the only begotten Son on earth, Emmanuel, God with us. And also manifested in the Church through the Holy Spirit. I say this for one reason, so that all that are held captive in the wrong teachings could leave it, could go out. Also, when we hear about the World Council of Churches, in some of the documents, it's written in the first section about faith in triune God, but such God doesn't exist. There is only one God who has been manifested to us from ever forever. So we have to say it clearly that this is a calling out time, a separation time, a preparation time. We have to be set free from the Babylonian captivity. All more than 300 churches, denominations that are currently unified in the World's Council of Churches, they all are looking towards Rome. But we are not looking towards Rome. We are looking towards Jerusalem. We are looking towards the beginning. We are looking towards what was at the beginning, and the Word was at the beginning, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word. So we must return back to the beginning. As it's been said, the return of Jesus Christ is imminent, very near. Our Lord said what would happen before he returns. Just let me read only a few verses from the Gospel of Mark. You could also read Mark 24. But today we read it from Mark chapter 13. And here we read verse 4. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign when all these things shall be fulfilled? The Lord was speaking about the end time, about what would happen. And then the disciples asked him to tell them when those things would happen and what signs would be connected with those things. When all those things would be fulfilled that you've mentioned. But our Lord first said in verse 5, and Jesus answering them began to say, take heed, lest any man deceive you. It's very important to go back to the Word and no lie has its roots in the Word of God. Whatever God wants to tell us is written in the Word of God, and every scripture is true. I have received about 80 questions, and one of those questions sent to me was, why are there so many directions within the message? Let me say this clearly. All those different directions are not in the Bible, because they are not in the Word. And whatever is away from the Word is also away from the will of God. God is only in His Word. He is not in any interpretation, and heaven and earth shall pass away, but the Word of God shall remain forever. And only when we have this Word, as our Lord Himself said, when my words remain in you, that's what is important now, not some kind of interpretation, but the original Word. There are teachings about thunders, there are different teachings, but they are not biblical. Only what is written in the Bible is biblical, and only what is written in the Word remains true forever. All interpretations have no right to exist, so we have to say it clearly, that within the Church of Jesus Christ, within the Bright Church, there is only one direction, not many directions, but the only one direction. The Church is aligned with the Word of God. All interpretations are away from the Word of God, from the will of God. And so we have to repeat it again and again, that God is only in His Word. This is no religious fanatism, no, but we just have to say this, because only the Word of God remains forever. And here our Lord says in verse 10, and the gospel must first be published among all nations. The gospel of the kingdom of God, the original gospel, must be preached to all nations as a witness, so that people could make their decision. When we look at the example of preaching the gospel in Matthew 28, in Luke 24, in John 20, the commission is written four times, and we have to go to Mark 16 and to all the other scriptures. We have to go to Luke 24. We have to read John 20. When the Lord, after His resurrection, gave the command to preach the gospel, and then those who believe should be baptized. Matthew 28, chapter 28, it's about the name to whom people should be baptized. God is our Father, and we pray, Beloved be thy name. And what is His name that should be sanctified? Baptize them unto that name. In the name in which God was manifested as Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So what matters is that first the word must be preached, and then faith comes and baptism follows. That's why it's written, who believes and is baptized shall be saved. In Romans chapter 10, faith comes by hearing, and hearing must come from the Word of God. And when we read Luke 24, verse 47, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, the remission of sins is being preached, and whoever believes it and accepts it, such a person can be baptized. And we take this commission, we take it to Acts chapter 2. Thousands of people were gathered, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit took place, and then the question came. And the question is, what shall we do to be saved? And then the answer was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's written in the Bible. That's God's word. That's the pattern. So, what the same baptism was, so the last baptism must be the first, and the last baptism must be the same. The first Lord's Supper must be the same as the last one. Everything must be restored as it was in the beginning. Because it's also written about our Lord and Savior in Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all His holy prophets since the world began. Now, at the end of the time of grace, and the original message must be preached. In Ephesians 5, one world, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Back to the Word, back to the beginning. Flee from all confusion. The Bible pattern is what is important for us. And it is written that 3,000 people were baptized on one day. As it was said by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of Peter, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the New Testament name of the covenant. You shall call Him Jesus, because He will save the people from their sins. So what matters is the holy name of the covenant, the name of our Lord. Salvation God is only revealed in Jesus Christ. That was God's way to us, and that is also our way to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, God was in Christ, and He reconciled the world with Him. So let's return back to the faith that was at the beginning, back to the teachings of the apostles back to the original foundation, as Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, I put the foundation in you, and nobody can place a different foundation, but you should all build upon that foundation. This is the most important period in the history of the mankind. The decision we make now, we will take with us to eternity. We have to take the message from God seriously. It's the last call. And whoever has an ear, let him hear. And whoever hears, let him believe, and believe the way the word says. So let's go to Acts chapter 8, verse 15. Those who believed were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we go to Acts 10, verse 48, those who believed were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. In Acts 19, there were brothers who were baptized by John the Baptist. But when Paul preached the word to them, then they were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is not a time to think about it. This is the time to believe, to obey, to obey God. Allenby also mentioned this clearly. There is no act, there is no doing in the Trinitarian formula here in the Bible, not a single time. What happened? The mankind has been led to lie. Not a single time a man of God, an apostle or a prophet, used the formula in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Only in the year 373, when Constantine was near his death, and he was still worshipping some god of sun, then they sprinkled him in the formula. But it is not in the Bible. Whatever is written in the Bible, and now I mean in the New Testament, has been done in the name of Jesus Christ. And when you follow it, and when you have this information, then in all denominations they start any acts with this formula, but it's not in the Bible, not a single time. And if you want to read it, it's written 25 times from Romans chapter 1. So it's only written about God the Father, but not about God the Son. Not a single time God the Son is mentioned. Oh, God's mercy came upon us. He revealed His word. He revealed His will. And the original teachings were put on the candlestick. And you know that he used Brother Branham in a special way. But you must take this seriously. not only to hear, but also accept in faith, to know what was God's purpose in that. Why Brother Branham was told in 1933, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is serious. God has done great things. And God has drawn our attention to what He wants to say to us, and He has confirmed His word in a supernatural way. So before God the Lord returns, the message must be preached. Everyone must be led back to the original, pattern, back to God. Not just to speak about the signs of the time, not only to speak about the peace process, not only about what is going on around the world, but what matters is the calling out of the bright church, about the preparation so that we can meet the Lord when He returns, to take those who are His, to take them back home. And here in Mark chapter 13, mighty things are mentioned here. When we should read that just again, so that we know what it is about. But in verse 23, but take ye heed. And you have to watch, and your eyes should be open, because you don't know when the coming of the Lord would be. You don't know the exact time. So we must remain sober in every way, but we also have to say clearly that we must not remain in unbelief. And we have to say that this is the most important period, when the last call is going out, when the everlasting gospel is being preached, with the message back to God, back to the Word, back to the teaching of the apostles. Because only those who are ready will come to the marriage. So it's written in Matthew 25, verse 10. Those who were ready. What's the purpose of these meetings? To make us ready, so our faith is made stronger. And I can tell you, really frankly, I have been in the Kingdom of God since 1947. God gave me great grace in 1955. I heard Brother Branham, and I experienced his ministry personally. I wouldn't need to add anything to it. The same things that were happening in the ministry of our Lord was repeated in our times. I can't go into detail, but God has done great things. And since the days of our Lord, there was no such ministry on the earth. You know what happened since the days of Reformation? You know what happened before the Reformation broke out? You know what happened? What happened with Jan Hus? You know what happened after that? As the Reformation made a breakthrough, and I just want to ask, has the Catholic Church ever said that they are sorry for what they did to Jan Hus? Did they ever say that they were sorry for that? I'm not here to speak about religion, not about what went wrong, but we have to mention it again and again. A man who came with the Word of God, they did not have any right to exist. Those who remained in the Church of, Rome, may God give us grace so that we are able to make the right decision. And you know that there have been many revivals, and each of them led deeper into the Word, and who was from God heard the words of God. But in our times, the greatest things happened. In the Pentecostal movement, great things happened. And I am grateful to God for that. But when we look at the charismatic movement today, 55 million people on earth, they say they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but they all just have the music and they can dance, they can all pray, but it all goes around God. 55 million people are currently on earth in the charismatic movement. And where are they going? Not to Jerusalem. They are not interested in what God is saying. They are not interested in the teachings of apostles at all. They all want to be around the round table. They all want to be recognized. But if we are recognized by people, then we cannot be recognized by God. We have to make our decision. And that's why God sent Brother Branham. After the mighty Pentecostal revival that reached all continents, then God sent his prophet. And Brother Branham was a simple man connected with the nature. He liked to go hunting. He liked the nature. But he was the man sent from God. He had God's commission. He was sent by God. He had the responsibility before God to bring the last message to the church, and God the Lord confirmed it. And God also led it in such a way that I had the opportunity to hear him personally, to know him personally for 10 years, to be in his meetings, whether it was in Germany or in the USA. God led it that way. And from the first day and the first meeting, I knew in my heart, this is a man sent from God. I had no idea about the message. I had no idea about the fact that God would send a prophet. At the time, I didn't know what is written in Malachi chapter 3 and in Malachi chapter 4. I didn't know anything at the time about what is going on now. But I was preaching at the time, but I didn't know those things. I didn't know what is going on now. I didn't know that before the first coming of Christ, more than 100 promises were fulfilled, and that everything was foretold through prophets, where the Savior was to be born, what his ministry was to be, what his death was to be, and his resurrection, his ascension to heaven. All those things were written in the Old Testament, and when we read it, then we believe it with all our hearts, because it has all been fulfilled. But this is the point. In Luke 24, the Lord called his disciples, and he started from Moses and prophets and Psalms, and he told them, that all those things were fulfilled. And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. But first, what was fulfilled? What Moses prophesied, what prophets prophesied, what was written in Psalms. And whenever I think about it, we can say that about 160 times Psalms are mentioned, 168 times Psalms are mentioned in the New Testament. The prophets are mentioned altogether more than 800 scriptures are there in the New Testament, which are referring back to the Old Testament. There are promises in the Old Testament, and there is fulfillment in the New Testament. And before we finish, let us mention this. It's about the main promise that our Lord gave to us in John 14. I will go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back to take you where I am. But then there is the promise, before this day comes, before the day of the Lord comes, God wanted to send a prophet, as it is written in prophet Malachi in chapter 3. I will send my messenger before me, who will prepare a way for me. In Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice will be heard in the wilderness, and when the time was up, angel Gabriel came to the temple, and he spoke to Zechariah. He was standing at the right side of the altar, and he gave the promise that John the Baptist would be born, and he will go before the Lord in the power of Elijah. Brothers and sisters, when God fulfills his promises, then supernatural things happen on earth. Then heaven come down when our Savior was born, what happened? The heavenly choir came down, and the angel announced that today Christ was born, that is the Lord, in the town of David. And also in our time, God was revealed in a supernatural way. The supernatural light you can see above the head of Brother Branham, this supernatural light always came down. When Brother Branham preached, or when he prayed for the sick, and in this supernatural light, God showed him who that person was, what disease that person had, sometimes even the name of the person or the city the person came from, as it was in the service of our Lord. In John chapter 1, he could say to Philip or to Nathaniel, "Before I called you, I saw you under the fig tree." Who could say to Peter, "Your name is Simon, and the name of your father is Jonas. Who could say to the woman at the well, "You had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband"? And the woman said, "We know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things, but who are you?" And the Lord said, "I am the one who is speaking with you." And when the angel of the Lord came to Brother Branham in 1946, then he explained his ministry. And he said that the ministry would be repeated as it was in the days of our Lord. At the time it happened with the Jews and Samaritans, but now it happened with all nations. The same sign of Messiah that God revealed. When God revealed who the person was, where the person came from. And so it is written that as it was in the days of Sodom, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. We just have to read and hear very carefully. When the Bible speaks about Son of Man, about Son of God, about Son of David, and where about son of Abraham, we just have to read, because all these titles have some meaning and they are connected with the fulfillment of the scripture. In Matthew 1 verse 1 it's written about our Lord and Savior that he is the son of Abraham and that he is the son of David. In Matthew 1 verse 1, as the son of Abraham, he is the heir, and we are also heirs. As the son of David, he is the king, and we will reign with him. As the son of God, he is the savior, and through him, we are returned back to our position as sons and daughters of God. In Son, we were placed back to our sonship. But what is with the Son of Man? That you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of God. When the Son of Man is revealed, we cannot mention all things. But I'm so grateful to God that we can live at this time, that He has revealed His word to us. All connections are made clear to us, that we can connect the Old and the New Testament when our Lord was walking on earth. He confirmed the ministry of John the Baptist. In Matthew 11, in Mark, both scriptures are mentioned there, from Isaiah 40 and from Malachi chapter 3. And then in John chapter 1. There was the question to John the Baptist, are you Christ? No. Are you the prophet? Are you Elijah? And then the question came, who are you? We have to give the answer. And then in verse 23, I am the voice of the one calling in the wilderness. John the Baptist knew his position. Every man of God knows what God has called him for. He knows his commission. Brother Branham knew his ministry. Before the sun turns dark and the moon will turn into blood. And Elijah will come before the day of the Lord. And what did Elijah do? He gathered God's people together. He rebuilt the altar of God. And he made sacrifice. He poured water around it. And then he worshipped the name of the Lord. And God answered. So it is written in 1 Kings written there that God again took their hearts. So it's not about our heads, it's about our hearts. So that our hearts return to God. So that we believe and the word is revealed to us, and so that we can be placed into the right position by God, and that we could expect the return of the Lord. Let's summarize now the last message before the return of the Lord has only one direction, and it is in the Word of God. Whatever that is not in the Word cannot be called the message. Because we are messengers in place of Christ. And such messengers have the word, have the original word. They connect the Old and the New Testament. And they show the way to God's people. Who speaks about seven thunders, about the third pool, about some tent ministry. There are so many topics. But, and they all say they are within the message. But we have to say again that only those who remained in the Word are in God's message. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy Word is the truth. We should also mention what is written in Hebrews 10, that we can only be sanctified in the will of God. Hebrews 10, from verse 6. And the will of God can only be in the Word of God. And it is also written that no prophecy of the Bible is of any private interpretation. God fulfills what He promised, and the service and the ministry of Brother Branham is finished. He brought the message. He led us back to the Word. And He shared the full revelation of Jesus Christ about every topic, about Godhead, about baptism, about Lord's Supper, about washing of feet. All these things God revealed in our time in the sermons of Brother Branham. And the wonderful thing is that we were led by God back to His Word. We do not see it as two separate things, like Branham and Christ, or the message and the Word. No, this is the same thing. The Word is being preached by the commission from God. And let me say this clearly, but I am saying this with a burning heart. Every true teaching will unite the body of the Lord together, and every false teaching will divide the body of the Lord. Every interpretation brings new directions. The Word must not be interpreted, the message must not be interpreted. And the Word is the message, and the message is the Word. These are not two separate things. It's the same thing. So, the last message is going out. The return of the Lord is near. And we are grateful to God that we can live at this time. That we can make our decision now. I am looking back at those many years. Those were really blessed years. And when I really look back, in 157 countries, I preached this wonderful word. And the last news from Frankfurt was that I traveled more than 6 million miles in my flights. I do all these journeys because the Lord has called me to go from city to city, from country to country, and to preach the last message. So that the calling out and the preparation could take place. So that we could meet the Lord when He returns. During this time, we are serving the people of God in many, many countries, and we are so grateful to God. Even if I cannot get to some countries personally, then the message is brought further, and all nations are reached, as our Lord said. The gospel of the kingdom will be preached to all nations as a witness. And in Revelation 14, verse 6, it's written the everlasting gospel. May our Lord be glorified this is the most important time in the history. There were important periods, but this one is the most important. And so we have to make the right decision. We are not following a man. We are not following Paul, Peter, or John. We are following the Lord. We are not following Brother Branham or Brother Frank. We are following the Lord Jesus Christ. But God has always used human lips to preach His word so that it could reach the people. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to visit the Isle of Patmos. I was there with many years and I said to the Lord, John, the Apostle John is no more here. Your prophet, William Branham, is no longer here, but you are here. Take what you revealed to them and show me what you showed them. And I read those 22 chapters and I read them again and I walked on the aisle and I said to the Lord, please reveal it to me, speak through your word. I would like to give it to your people. And that's what I've been doing in all those years. No interpretation of my own, but just to preach the word. And as the bridegroom was, the word made flesh. And as every promise referring to him was fulfilled in him, so sure it is that every promise concerning or given by God to the bride church will be fulfilled. God takes care of His word. He takes care of us who believe His word and all those who are not yet baptized in a biblical way. May this day be for you to make the decision to be baptized as the Bible says it. The return of the Lord is near. May God bless you all. May He be with you all. Many more things could be said, but it's just enough for today. You are all connected. You can see, you can hear, and we are really grateful that people from all the world can hear with us, can experience it with us. It was not possible 20 years ago. But God took care of it. One can just imagine that in the simplest house of God as there ever was on earth, we have meetings every month and the sermons are being translated into 12 languages and then it's again translated into more languages in other nations, and we are grateful to God that the last message, the last call, is reaching the ends of the earth. And whoever has an ear, let him hear. And who can hear, believe. And as we said, faith comes by preaching. God fulfilled His word. Before the sun turns dark, before the moon turns into blood, God had sent His prophet, and we were led back to the beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And I would also like to mention in Matthew 24, A lot of things are written about what would happen, and also about the food. About the food that should be distributed, and about all those brothers that are distributing the food. But in verse 48, first it is written about the faithful and wise servant who is distributing the food in due season. But in other verses, from verse 50, there is something about an evil servant. And so it always was. The true servant preaches the true word. The true servant gives out the true food. Any interpretation is not from God. And every servant of God will always remain in the world, in the word. And this is about Matthew 13, first the Lord preached the word, and then the enemy came to him. The Lord was dressed in white, sowing the seed, and he was followed by the enemy. The enemy always comes afterwards. First the word is being preached, and then the enemy comes, sowing his own seed. These two things, like grain is plural, is singular, and weeds are plural. What God sows in John chapter 12, the grain doesn't fall onto the earth, it will remain alone. But when it gets into the earth, it will bring a lot of fruit. He was the original seed, and his own are the God's seed. And it will be harvested. But what about the weeds? The weed is not the seed of God, but it is all the interpretations, and those are many. But there is only one original seed, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one message from God, one church, and one bride of Jesus Christ. No mixing up. The Lord has his people on earth. I could just continue. You are able to receive, to accept, but it's just enough for today. May God bless you and be with you. Amen. Let's stand up for prayer. Maybe some are here who would like to sanctify their life to the Lord. We are especially addressing this word to all young people. Never has there been time when young people were tempted by so many things, but we will pray for all, for the young, for the old, for all those who would like to give their life to the Lord. We had beautiful meetings last weekend. We prayed for everyone. In Brussels, about 300 and 400 people gathered, and maybe about 2,000 in Paris. God is calling his people out. And God also blessed the meeting in Bratislava. God is faithful. We would like to ask our brother Ondrášik. I can understand very well when he calls me. Brothers and sisters, we are connected, united in the Lord. I believe from my heart that all those who listen and who believe today, that they really are part of the bride. And as it's also written in Revelation 19, and his bride made herself ready. So sure it is that the preparation is taking place now. And as it is written in Matthew, then the kingdom of heaven will be like similar to 10 virgins who went out to meet the bridegroom. Only those who are part of the bride church will hear the calling from the bridegroom. When you are part of the bride, then you must hear and believe the calling of the bridegroom. And you should go out to meet him. Go out today, leave everything behind, make the right decision to go on from today, so that it may be fulfilled with you, with me, with us, that those who were ready went to the wedding. Brothers and sisters, I am not saying this because of me, but I am saying it before the face of God, when the Lord showed me the wheat field. There were no more weeds. It was ripe. And when the last ones are called and the field is harvested, we are just grateful that we can take part in it now. And I would also like to mention one experience when I saw the rapture. And brothers and sisters, I really experienced it, that I was taken out of my body and I experienced the rapture. In 1981, and when I looked right, I saw a host of people dressed in white. They were all young. I do not want to mention any details, but when I made my promise before the Lord, I said to my Savior, as sure as you called me and sent me, I beg you that all those who hear your word from my lips and all those who believe you, so that I could see them again with you in glory. We didn't follow some fables, but we followed the word, the revealed word, the revelation of Jesus Christ. We have the most up-to-date standpoint in the kingdom of God. Please be grateful that the Lord is speaking to us in such a mighty way. We just have to believe. Like it's written in the letters in the Bible, today when you hear his word, Many people speak about what God was doing yesterday. They always mention Brother Branham about the prophet. They remain in the past, but we are living in the present. And we would like to have part in what God is doing now. He is completing his work of salvation just as he finished his work of creation. So let's bow our heads. We will remain in prayer. And before we pray together, I would like to ask, how many of you would like to be included in the prayer so that we can bring you to the Lord, whatever your need is? Then let's raise your hand. May God bless you all. Beloved Lord, you faithful God, you are the Lamb of God. You took away the sins of the world. You took our blame upon you. May all those who have not experienced it yet, may they all believe it, experience it today. May they receive you as their Savior now. May they believe that you have forgiven them. Because we have preached the remission of sins in your name through your blood, as it is written, beloved Lord, in Matthew 26, you said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, that is shed for many for the remission of sins. Beloved Lord, give that remission to all, so that they all may accept the reconciliation with God. May this be the day that you have prepared, the day of salvation, the day of grace. Save every soul, heal every body, confirm thy word. Beloved Lord, we believe, and may it happen as it is written in Revelation 22. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And those who hear it say, come. And we all say, come, Lord Jesus, and give us the grace to be prepared. The Lord, I believe it. I believe that all those who believe your word now, that all those who are being called out, that all those who are being separated, will experience their preparation. And I sanctify them to you. Please receive them and accept them. Bless all my brothers. Bless all my sisters. Bless our brother Fleck in a special way. Bless all ministering brethren. And please be with us all. We thank thee for this day. You've done great things. And your word will not return in void, but it will do what you've sent it for. May your wonderful name of Jesus be glorified. Hallelujah. Amen. And all people will say amen. You may be seated. We would like to thank for the invitation. We would like to thank Brother Kukaczka, Brother Siegfried, Thank you for your coming. May God bless you all, and may He be with all of you. I always say, this may be the last time. God knows it. And then we will all see together with the Lord. May God bless you and be with you. Amen.